to share a parody of Christmas. And there were in the same country children keeping watch over their stockings by the fireplace. And lo, and was said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that is for all people who can afford them. For there will be given great feasts of turkey, dressing, and cake, and many presents, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the presents, wrapped in bright paper, lying beneath the tree, adorned with tinsel, colored bulbs and lights, and suddenly there will be with you a multitude of relatives and friends, praising you and saying, thank you so much, it was just what I wanted. And it shall come to pass, as the friends and relatives have gone their way to their own homes, the parents shall say to one another, what a mess to clean up. I'm tired. Let's go to bed and pick it up tomorrow. Thank goodness Christmas only comes once a year. And they go with haste to their cold bed and find their desired rest. Does anybody recognize that from our scripture from last week? It's not exactly the same, is it? So the promise in God's word is so much more than that, that there's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll find him in a manger, a simple Christmas with a simple light. The promise of God is first shared with the shepherds on the hillside. Too often, the story of Christmas gets turned inside out, and our focus becomes worldly and not godly. So it's time to return to a simpler time, to change Christmas back to its original meaning. And hence the name of the sermon today, Change Christmas. And part of the song that Libby shared this morning is that, you know, have you changed or have I changed? You know, sometimes Christmas has changed, right? Not of its own thing, because Christmas is what Christmas is, but that as a culture we have changed Christmas. And sometimes we change. We lose the focus on what the meaning is all about. Regardless of what's going on around us, our hearts are turned around away from the meaning of Christmas. So from the clip this morning, we're able to learn three truths I'm going to share with you this morning based on God's word. Okay, I'm not preaching the Grinch. I'm preaching God's word, okay, just so that we're not confused. And that we used to say change Christmas from being too focused on commercialism and greed to the simple message of our Messiah's birth. So first, know that the enemy comes to steal. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So in this movie, right, the Grinch, and it says in the book and in the movie, he hated the Who's. Now that's a strong thing, isn't it? He hates the Who's. And he came to steal their Christmas. He thought that if he just stole what appeared to have the most value in their lives, then he would succeed in stealing Christmas. Because remember, he doesn't understand the meaning behind it. All he ever saw was the greed and the self-centeredness. So the first issue is too often we let others and situations steal our joy. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. And I know we've talked about this before. Joy is deeper. It's a state that we have. It's not a situation we find ourselves in, right? Happiness is, I'm just happy today. Maybe I'm happy I found a butterfly that's happy. Joy is deeper. And it's a joy that I have in knowing that God might have created that butterfly just for me to appreciate the beautiful colors. That's the joy. And it's something that can't be stolen unless we let the enemy steal our joy. Now, there are days where we are sad. I'm not saying you can't be sad or maybe have righteous anger, but that doesn't mean that we allow the enemy to steal our joy. Amen? So just like the father in our clip this morning, we need to recognize what we really need at Christmas. Not possessions and not gifts under the tree, but the people, family, and friends that we love. You know, this summer, some of you probably already know that our house got broken into and all my jewelry was stolen. Now, that was the only thing that was stolen. So this is good. That was good news. But after the shock of knowing that everything was taken, came a really deep appreciation that nobody got hurt. See, what they told me was that it's a good chance that we jumped them and they ran out the window. So knowing that I sent my kids in ahead of me I'm so thankful. Yeah, that other stuff, I can't take it with me, okay? But my kids mean so much to me, as you know. So the fact that they were safe, I'm thankful. We have to recognize the things that really mean something in our lives. You know, it's the oldest play, one of the oldest plays in Satan's book to be used. And he used it just after the first Christmas. Of course, it wasn't called Christmas then. You know that, right? Christmas, that word came later as a feast that we celebrate. But maybe you remember this part of the story, the Christmas story. This is from Matthew 2, verses 13 through 18. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." So when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and he killed all the children in and around Bethlehem. All the children. Think about it. Sometimes we brush over things who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. So through his agent, Herod, Satan tried to take Christ out of the picture. Yes? Sound familiar? Now go forward 2,000 years. Is he still not trying to kill Christ in Christmas? To remove Christ from our hearts. To remove Christ out of Christmas. So that now it's happy holidays. There's no focus on Christ. There's focus on commercialism and being good to one another, which is great. Loving one another, celebrating a happy season, lots of feasts. But where is Christ in the season? If we remain vigilant, then we can recognize the attacks of the enemy for what they are. Rebuke them in the name of Jesus and experience the joy of Christmas. Don't allow him to steal Christ out of your heart this season. The joy of Christmas, the life that comes, the light that comes to dispel the darkness. Amen? Number two, remember your childhood. Okay? Remember your childhood. In the clip this morning, it's evident that the only one that realized in all of the hullabaloo in the beginning that Christmas had slipped away from what it was truly all about was one small child. Now, she can make an awful lot of difference, one person, one small child, right? He says, who hadn't even grown into her nose yet. So Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, 3-4, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." See, sometimes it becomes difficult to remember what it was like to be a child. Amen? We allow the responsibilities and the heaviness and the burdens that we have to distract us from the pure joy of the season. Kids trust easily. They love much. And they're in wonder of everything, right? Spring and summer is like the best time when you witness kids just be kids and have them just enjoy what it is for what it is without any kind of like restrictions. First, they're only this high, most of them, the little ones, right? So they see life completely differently and they notice things that you would never notice. So butterflies, even the ones that like when you get older, you're like, ugh, that's a moth. But no, for a kid, that's a butterfly. It's precious, and it's full of wonder. But we start to discount things because either they've become comfortable or just, I don't know, just commonplace. But for them, they're full of wonder. Laying back, remember laying back on your back and looking up into the sky and making pictures and saying, what do you see up there? And allowing your creativity to just go. Taking the time to be like that, making sand castles, using your hands and creating something that you think this is wonderful fort, and you're storming it and making a moat and you're doing all these things. And as an adult, we look at it and go, that's just a lump of sand with some water. But when you're a kid, it is like the medieval era, and you have knights and you're sticking flags in and you got your pail going because you haven't lost the wonder. So be like a child. Like I said, as we've gotten older, the pressures of responsibility take precedence, and we lose the ability to live simply, to take joy in uncomplicated things, and to live in the moment. I want to say that one again, because that one's big. Live in the moment. I'm going to look at my kids, too. What do I say? No. No. I think what happens, this is my tirade again on technology, we don't live in the moment. I was going to say, I always say to them, be fully present. I know they're annoyed with me harping on them. Be fully present. Life is going on all around us. Let's take wonder in our family and in our friends, and in our kids, and in the season. We have people coming over and enjoying dinners and sharing time, parties. Could you imagine if everybody was at your party and they were looking at their phones? Wouldn't that seem crazy? You'd be like, I invited all you over, and I'm sharing this food with you, but you'd rather be with the people that are like 20 miles away. I'm here, right? Hello? Be fully present. Live in the moment. Enjoy the now. Live in the know. All right. So see this season, be as a child. Treasure each moment. See the wonder of the season. Maybe you know part of this Christmas carol. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nation prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. There's wonders in his love. So let's rest in that, to know that we can just abide in his love and just be in wonder, be in awe, in the good way, the awe of God and what he has done through his son, Jesus Christ. Drive to look at the lights. Smell the pine scent in your house. And if you don't have a real tree, light a candle. Enjoy the smell, huh? You can put it on your tree. We are sensory people, right? The things that we can enjoy. Think about the smell of a home-baked cookie. Just abide in it. So as you're spending the time, don't rush from event to event to event, task to task to task, but to enjoy, to live in the moment. Christmas came to us as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And as the prophet wrote long ago in Isaiah 11:6, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Peace and joy come when we are led by the little child of Bethlehem and by no other. And finally, take some time to forgive. If there's one thing that will steal your joy, is to harbor bitterness in your heart. Remember, forgiveness is a gift, right? During the giving season, that you give yourself. Forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. Paul writes in Colossians 3:13, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Another way to think about it is to dress in forgiveness. In the season of Christmas parties and open houses and festive occasions, we are often caught up in what to wear. I have nothing to wear. What am I going to wear? There's a lot of things about what we're going to do, what we're going to wear, right? We discussed that last week, right? Not to worry about things, and then we don't have to worry about these things. But the verse we just read, when surrounded by verses 12 and 14, bring light to the situation. Now, this comes from the message, okay? So this is the 13th verse, but we're adding 12 and 14 on the other side. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Amen? It's how we dress ourselves, not in this, right? This too shall pass. It either might not fit next year or it'll be out of style. But what never goes out of style, and it's been consistently in style, is to love one another, to forgive, to be humble, to be, just all loving. Remember, although many look at our outward appearance, God looks at your heart. Amen? No matter how many gifts you purchase and give away at Christmas, you must first learn to forgive, to pray blessing over an offender. How many people have taken the time to do that? It's a hard thing to do, but I'll tell you, it's the easiest way to forgive. I sat with Roland and Sue even just the other day, and they did have an offense. And as she was sharing, Sue was like, I just want to release forgiveness and I want to pray blessing over this woman. I'm like, you're exactly right. Because as we continue to pray for them, God works in our hearts and allows us to forgive. If you've never tried it, I suggest you do. It doesn't have to be anything more than just, God, I pray you bless this person. In Jesus' name. That's it. Start there. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. But it'll allow God to work in your heart. As you release blessing over them, he's going to release forgiveness and a filling up in you that you will not be able to even comprehend. And before you know it, you'll say, what offense? I don't even remember the offense. And what if you have offended somebody else? Now, I hope that sometimes we don't know when we've offended somebody. But if you know that you've caused a hurt in someone's life, I just pray that you make time to make it right. As you're going into the Christmas season so you can fully enjoy it and they can fully enjoy it, think about the burden that carries with you. If you know that you might have hurt someone's feelings, just to be able to go to that person and say, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't know I hurt your feelings. Or maybe you did know, you know it, and I really just had to make the time. And then, once again, forgiveness, right? That's a gift that you give yourself. Make the relationship right and apologize. So we give the gift of forgiveness, and you will be blessed of God. So as we wrap up this message, we're going to move into our Advent candle. Could you go get Amber, Tom? Thank you. I love my Advent candles. Did anybody go out and get an Advent wreath last week? No, that's all right. So we can still do it this way. Last week, remember we focused on the shepherd, right? We're waiting for, come to us, our shepherd. God is the shepherd, came first because he cares about the lost sheep. He is our good shepherd. That wonderful image of Christ carrying the lamb. That is our shepherd. I'm going to walk behind there. Hang on. Hold that for just a sec. Now hand it to me. Come around back here. Awesome. I have to get comfortable in this space down here. It's a little bit different. All right, so remember last week we talked about Advent and the different meanings of the word Advent is to come or to visit. So in the Christian season of Advent, we prepare for the Advent of Christ at Christmas. We remember Israel's hope for the coming of God's Messiah. Remember our hope for the second coming of Jesus. You know, when I come into the Christmas season, I celebrate Christ's birth, but I am mindful always that Christ has promised his return, and that's what we wait expectantly for. You know, come, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. We want him to return in power and might. We remember our need for a Savior, and especially those that we know that do not know Christ that needs a Savior right now. And we prepare our hearts to welcome Christ at Christmas into the world. So we light one candle every week We help ourselves to get ready for the birth of Jesus. Last week we lit a candle that signified awaiting for God as our shepherd. And today we're going to focus on the coming of Christ, who brings forgiveness for our sins. And as we focus on forgiveness this morning, I understand that God forgave us first, right? When we come before God and we confess before him that we need him as Savior, we confess him as Lord of our life, we know that from that moment on, our sins are forgiven. We are made white as snow. He's taken up all our sins upon the cross. And so when we harbor unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts, we are negating the work of the cross. So this moment when we remember Christ's forgiveness for us, but we need to remember that we need to forgive others when we celebrate this one candle here. So let's pray for a moment. So dear God, thank you for the season of Advent that helps us to prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas. And as we read this word this morning, as Amber shares and we light the candle, may excitement for Christ's coming burn in our hearts. Amen. Amber's going to read Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, keep a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and is his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Amen. We light this candle because, like God's people centuries ago, we also need a Savior who will forgive our sins. There's different reasons why we use the different colors too, but I love the purple because it reminds me always that Christ is King. So even though it's a liturgical ones in us, right? Christ is King. Christ is Shepherd, yes. Christ came to forgive us, but Christ is King. Even as a babe, that's the juxtaposition that's fascinating. Even as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, he's King. He's King. So let's pray. Dear God, as we light this candle, Lord, we recognize our sin and our desperate need for a Savior. We wait for your forgiveness in Christ. We long to be purified so that we might present ourselves to you in righteousness. Come, our Savior. Amen. I would like to, first I want to make an invitation. If anybody would like further prayer after the service is closed, I can meet with you over here in the back corner. Just let me know, okay? I want to make that opportunity in case there's something that you want to release this morning. I will pray with you and be in agreement for that. But let's close, and if you'd like to stand, we're going to sing one more chorus. Last week we said, come to us, our shepherd. And the words this week are, come to us, forgive us. Because as you know, right, his mercies are new each and every morning. Once we become followers of Christ, yes, he remembers our sin no more, but does it mean that we are then perfect? No. Will we continue to make mistakes?
Yes.
And isn't that the good news, though? Because regardless of how we may continue to stumble, that Christ is gracious to forgive each and every day. He reaches out his hand and pulls us up out of the miry clay and sets us firm upon a rock. He is the solid rock. And if we stay connected with him, we can continually keep our faces picked up and out of the dark because we know that he is our guidance. He is our shepherd. He is our protector. So yes, we make mistakes, just like the lamb that runs out of the fold, but he will come after us. He will pick us up. He will bring us back into the fold and into safety. So the words are, come to us, forgive us.
Oh, come to us, forgive us. Oh, come to us, forgive us. Oh, come.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that through your word, Lord, and the things that we share this morning, we can truly learn that we can first know that the enemy is out there to steal, kill, and destroy, but that you have come so that we have life and life to the full, life more abundantly, God. And let us be children of your word, God, that we know that in situations that might seem dark, where there is no answer, God, that you are the light, God. That your light dispels the darkness, God, and that we know that no matter what kind of weapon the enemy might try, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God. And so we know that we can count on you, that you are faithful, O God. And that we come before you, God, as little children, Lord, with the joy unspeakable, God, because of the wonderment of who you are and what you have done and what we have laid out before us, God, in the future, God, plans and purposes that you already have for us, God. Let us walk forward in those things, step out in those things in faith, God, and in wonder of what you may do, God. Let us just walk in faith with the eyes to be able to see the simple things, God. Because you rejoice in the simple things, God, even to be born in a manger, a simple, undecorated place, oh God, because you bring glory even into the simple, most humble situations, God. And Lord, let us be able to forgive, God. I just pray, God, that we're able to release those things that might have been burdening us today, oh God. Any offenses that might have come up against us, God. And if we need somebody to come alongside of us, God. I pray, Lord, that a brother or sister of Christ might come alongside and be able to be that person where we can just share our burdens and have them pray together, God, so that we can release things. We do not want to hold burdens, God. We want to be able to celebrate, God, and everything that you've been doing, God, in this Christmas season, God. It's so precious, such a precious time that we can be able to share with family and friends, God, the hope that we have in Christ. Not the hope that we have in things, oh God, because they will never satisfy, God, but only you truly will satisfy. So bless your people today, God, as they come and they leave today, God. Let them enjoy this week of Advent, of preparing their hearts. Come to us, our shepherd. Come to us, forgive us. Come to us in power and might, King of the cradle. In Jesus' name, amen.